Turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to start there. This morning, we preached a message about how to build our own personal biblical standards, and it was called, Let's Start Building. Enough with the foundations already. Let's get with it, right? Let's get going on this thing. So this morning, I kind of laid out the order of building personal biblical standards. I gave you four building blocks. The four building blocks are Scripture, principle, conviction, and standard. Those are the four things we need if we're going to build a personal biblical standards. Now this is our fifth message on this series. It's been on Sunday nights mostly. We've talked about what standards are. We've talked about how standards need to be measurable. We've talked about how everybody has standards. Even McDonald's has standards. And I read it today. I didn't show you a picture, but the sign at the I forget the name of the Metropolitan Bernalillo County Metropolitan Detention Center, right? The jail, right? They have a sign, and they have standards on what you wear, and actually stricter than a lot of people wear to church. It's pretty amazing. So everybody has some standards. So here's the guidelines. I'm gonna change the layout this evening just so you can understand. Over here by this speaker, this is where we're gonna be. This is gonna represent Scripture. All right, it's gonna be totally different than this morning. So help me out here. This represents Scripture. This building block here on this side of the pulpit, it's gonna represent principles. You gotta have Scripture before you have a Bible principle. Now on this side of the pulpit tonight, it's gonna represent convictions. And before you can have Bible-based convictions, you got to be able to base them on a principle which is based on Scripture. And then after convictions over here by this speaker, we're going to have our personal standards. So we're going to try to work across that. You got to have Scripture. You're going to have a Bible principle. You got to have a conviction, and that is what you believe based on what the Bible says. And then you got to actually do something about it, right? That's the standard. That is actually the guideline I make for myself. Now, when we're preaching about standards, we're teaching on standards, I want you to understand something. When we're teaching and preaching about standards, it's not so that we can look at somebody else and say, oh, you're not keeping the rules. This is for me, my own personal biblical standard. And it's for you, your own personal biblical standard. How can I personally live my life to please God? It's not so that I can be a referee and call every foul on everybody else. That's not the purpose. My purpose in life is to please God. And I said this morning, it took me a lifetime to get to the point where I am now in developing convictions and standards. And it's the same thing for you. You have spent your life up till this point developing what you believe. Don't expect somebody else to be where you are. Be gracious with somebody that's not where you are. And if you're in a position of authority or influence, you can try to teach somebody what the Bible says. But let's be very careful that as we look at our personal biblical standards, that we look at them as this is for me. This is for me to live my life to please God. Not so that I can look at, like the Pharisees did, so I can look down at somebody else and say, you're not doing it right. No, it's for me. I want to please God. I want my life to please God. And I hope that's your heart's cry tonight, that you want your life to please God. All right, ready? Scriptures, principle, conviction, and standard. Those four building blocks. We covered the first two this morning. James chapter 1, verse number 21. And verse number 22, we're going to read these two verses. I'm going to show you two pictures on the screens. And then I want to pick up where we left off this morning, right at here, biblical convictions. We preached about the Scripture. We preached about the principles. Now, biblical convictions is where we're going to pick up tonight. James 1, verse 21, the Bible says this, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Here you've got this process all the way from receiving the word to, as the Bible says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's on this side. Receiving the word, that's the Scripture, doers of the word, all the way to actually, as we might say, where the rubber hits the road, right here where the action happens, our standards. But there's a word right in the middle of there that's very important to us, and that is this, two words actually, the engrafted word. Engrafted. A graft is an operation where two separate things are made to grow together. You've heard of these. There's skin grafts. I'm not going to show you pictures. Don't worry about those. All right. Tissue grafts, bone grafts. And I looking for some grafts, I saw some of those. I thought, I'm not going to show those. All right. You got to be like the kind of person that wants to be an ambulance, like an EMT, to want to see those. But let me show you a couple pictures of tree grafts. But Adam, will you throw one of those up there? All right, so here's a picture of a tree graft. Remember, a graft, when an operation where two separate things are made to grow together. All right, now, go to that, either one. I'm trying to convince my wife to get one of these. This is called a fruit salad tree. What a great idea. So you've got a nectarine, a peach, an apricot, another peach, and a plum. And they all grow on the same tree. I don't know how well it works. I don't know. It costs $49 online. All right. But what they do is they take the root and they will graft in branches from each of those different types of fruit. And they take part of one tree and they put it together with part of the other tree and they graft it together. And it ends up growing together to be one tree. It's an amazing thing. They call this the fruit salad tree. Can you go to the next one, Brother Adam? So here's a picture. I forget exactly what it is. I think it's a pawpaw tree. I know it's kind of small. That's my fault. I gave them to him the wrong dimensions. There's two types of trees. I don't know. Brother Adam, you're amazing. You see how they fit together like a puzzle? So what they did was they cut to the bottom of the tree with the roots, and they cut the top of a different tree, and they put them together. You see how the bark on the top one doesn't match the bark on the bottom. They're growing together. That is two things that are separate that are growing together to be one. Look at this verse again, James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. What are we supposed to receive? The engrafted word. We are supposed to receive the word of God, and it is supposed to be something that we receive into our lives and it becomes part of us. The word of God grafted, like the top of that tree, grafted into us. The engrafted word, that is what we need to receive. So this graft is an operation where two separate things are made to grow together. Here's the two separate things. You've got the word of God, you've got the scriptures, and then you've got my life. And those two things are so far apart. I want them to be close together. I want to please God. I want to live for God. So if I can take the word of God and somehow receive it, so it becomes the engrafted word. That happens right here. Convictions. When I decide, I believe what the Bible says. I read a scripture verse. Let me hopefully have time to give you an example. I read the scripture. There's a Bible principle that I understand that. Here's the scripture. Here's the principle. And now, right here, I receive the word and I engraft it. I believe it. I decide that is true. I believe that. Now, you remember the statement I gave you this morning? God said it. That settles it. No, wait. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. You've heard that. All right? And I told you this. God said it and that settles it. We understand that. The I believe it happens right here, where the engrafting happens. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Now, the fact that God said it and it's settled, that's true. That's scripture. That's principle. Nothing can change that. When it comes to me, he said it, I believe it, conviction. And that settles it for me. It's already been settled, but now for me, it's settled. This has become part of me. If I'm going to live and have personal biblical standards, guidelines for me to live, I need to base them on the scriptures. I'm going to get tired up here tonight. I'm going to base them on the scriptures. But the only way I can live the scriptures is if right here happens, conviction happens, and I take the scriptures and I engraft them and I say, I want that in my life. That needs to become part of me. A biblical conviction is when I take a Bible principle and make it part of my life. Now, you've heard definitions of conviction. I'll talk about that for just a moment. Some people say a conviction is something that you would die for. How many of you have heard that definition of a conviction? I've heard that. Okay, let's talk about that for just a minute. Those folks would say, and I'm not saying that's a wrong statement, but I want you to think it through before we decide what our convictions are. All right, so let's think about this. They would say, if you're not willing to die for it, then it's not a conviction. Think with me just for a moment. We ought to be willing to die instead of doing anything sinful. Wouldn't you agree to that? I'm a Christian. If I'm given the option to do something sinful, I should say no to that. I should be willing to refuse to do that to the point where I would say I'll die first before I would sin. That's what I should do. So in a way, for somebody to say that a conviction is something that you would die for, that is true if I have the spiritual maturity to say, sure, I'll die before I sin. Think with me tonight, okay? I just want you to consider this, because here's what's going to happen. We talk about convictions, and you'll say, well, I don't really have those convictions. What I want you to understand tonight is a conviction is something that I see the Bible principle, I see the scripture, and I just believe it. I make that part of me. I believe what the Bible says. We ought to be willing to die before we do anything, in fact, that would please God. Let's do a little exercise here. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think. If you were given a choice to either deny your faith in Jesus Christ or die, what would you do? Most of us would say, here's what I think we would say. I hope I would be willing to die rather than deny my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe somebody in here has faced that. Maybe somebody in here has been at the point where you have had to make that decision, and you did make that decision, so you could say, Pastor Reyes, I know what I would say. For me, I would have to say, I hope so. I believe I would. I hope I could say that I would rather die rather than deny Jesus Christ. But we don't know, because we've really never been faced with that decision. If you were given a choice, either to watch a sinful movie or die, what would you do? Now it gets hard, doesn't it? So somebody says, you watch the sinful movie or die. Now what's the difference between that sin, choosing to sin against God, because Joseph in Potiphar's house, he was confronted by Potiphar's wife, and he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He wasn't talking about denying Christ. He wasn't talking about denying God. He was talking about immorality. And he said, if I do that, I'm going to sin against God. So what would you do? What would you do? I would like to say I would rather die than sin, but my track record proves otherwise. What is a conviction? A conviction is my belief in what the Scripture says. It's a firm belief based on a scriptural principle that I have engrafted into my life that compels me to live a certain way. Let me give you one more scenario. If you were given a choice to either stop telling people about Jesus or die, what would you do? You stop going soul winning, you stop sharing the gospel or die. You remember, I always get these two guys confused. John Bunyan, all right? Not Paul. John Bunyan was a street preacher in England. As a street preacher in England, he was arrested and he was told, you either stop what you're doing, you stop sharing the gospel, street preacher would be like a soul winning out in public. You stop sharing the gospel or you go to jail. He said something along the lines of, if you release me, I'll be on the streets preaching tomorrow. Wow. Conviction. Now, we ought to be willing to die instead of sinning against God. But very few people are mature enough Christians to be willing to die for everything they believe. Most Christians aren't even willing to change our clothes or our music or our movies, much less die for what we believe. So I want to challenge you about this. A conviction, a firm belief based upon a scriptural principle that I've engrafted into my life that compels me to live a certain way. What's a conviction? Some people say a conviction is something that you personally feel convicted about. I mean, if you've heard that is the definition of conviction, something I personally feel convicted about. So let's talk about that for just a moment. That's not a wrong statement, but it's not a complete statement. They'll say, if you don't personally feel conviction in your heart about something, then it's not wrong. Now, that is a wrong statement, all right? So the idea here is, if I'm not convicted about it, then it's not a sin for me. It may be a sin for you if God's convicted you about it, but if I'm not convicted about it, it's not a sin for me. They'll say, if something in the Bible says not to, let me say that again, if something the Bible says not to do doesn't convict you, then it's not a sin for you. It may be a sin for others, but not for you, because you don't feel conviction, and that's the way they'll define what a conviction is. What I'm trying to help you to understand is for our process, and there's different ways to define conviction. I understand that one way to define conviction is just the sentence that a judge hands down to a guilty criminal. Okay, so there's different definitions here. For what we're using here, the word conviction is not just when I feel convicted about something. A conviction is a firm belief based on a Bible, a scriptural principle that I've engrafted into my life that it compels me to live a certain way. Let me give you some examples of this. Saying a conviction is something that you personally feel convicted about. Here's an example. And I've heard this, living with my girlfriend doesn't convict me, so it's not a sin for me. It may be a sin for others, I've never felt conviction about it, so this is not a sin for me. Killing unborn babies doesn't convict me, so it's not a sin for me. Now many of us would say, how could you even say that? How could you even think that couldn't be a sin? It's because it's based on me. Living with my girlfriend doesn't convict me, so it's not a sin for me. You see, the problem here, it's based on what I think, and it's not based on the Scripture. So that's not a working definition of what conviction in this case, in the way we're using it, ought to be. Sin is sin whether it convicts you or not. To be more accurate, we could say this. A conviction is something that we should be convicted about regardless of whether or we are or not. Because the Bible says it. Because there's a Bible principle that says either something's right or something's wrong. Now, the word conviction isn't in the Bible, but the word convicted is. One time, let me read it to you. And they which heard it, I got to give you the background. The Jews and the Pharisees have brought this woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery. Then they said, in the very act. And they said, the law of Moses said that we should stone her. What do you say that we should do? And Jesus knelt down on the ground and he began to write him to the ground. And he said, let the one of you that is without sin cast the first stone. And the Bible says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So the one time the Bible says people were convicted, they were convicted by their own conscience to change their behavior. Now, I've been debating on this. I think I'm going to skip the preaching about the conscience tonight. We're going to come back to that. And we'll preach more about our conscience. The conscience is powerful. In fact, the Bible says that God put His law in our heart. And I will read this one verse to you. Romans 2, verse 15. Would show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So God's law is an instinctive part of our life, and our conscience uses what we know to convict us about what's right or what's wrong. We're going to come back to conscience at a different time. Let's jump to standards. So you've got the Scripture, you've got principle, you've got conscience, a firm belief based on a Scripture or principle. All right, so biblical conviction is my firm belief based on what the Bible says. Are we with me so far? Three building blocks so far. The Scripture, you got Bible principle. Now you got biblical conviction. And I want to get to this one because I want to get to the practical here in just a minute. And that is this, biblical standard. What is a biblical standard? I want to go through, I want to teach you this. I want to help you. So a standard is a rule I impose upon myself to help me live my conviction. This process, I hope you've been following. We see the Scripture. We learn a principle from the Scripture. From that principle, we decide, I believe this. This is my conviction that I am going to live. And from that, here's my personal guideline. Here's my standard. My standard on how I'm going to actually live my life, the day in and day out, my guidelines, my rules for my life, has got to be based on something solid. It's got to be based on a conviction, something I believe. I could have a standard that's just based on anything. I could come up with random standards. I can come up with random rules for myself just as much as you can. But I want my biblical standards personal standards to be based on the Bible. So I'm going to draw back to my personal conviction, my belief about something. And I'm going to flesh this out in just a minute. I'm going to give you some examples. It's going to help you understand what we're talking about. But if you get the concept here, you get the philosophy here, from the Bible all the way now to how I live. You know, the Bible's a practical book. That's what we preached about this morning. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it's made for us to be able to live. So a biblical standard is a rule I impose upon myself to help me live my conviction. I believe a certain way, so I'm going to put some rules in my life to help me live according to the way I believe. We all ought to live according to the way we believe. Wouldn't it be a hypocrite to not live according to how we believe? If I say, I believe this, but I live differently than that, I don't want to live that way. I want to live the same way that I believe. So I'm going to make some guidelines in my life, and those guidelines we're going to call standards. A standard must come from a conviction, which must come from a principle found in Scripture. Why do you have standards? Let me make it more personal. Why do you have your standards? Now, we all have standards. We all have dress standards. I mean, we all wore clothes to church today, and I'm so thankful that we all did. There's some standards. Now, they may not all be the same thing, but we all. Why do you have your standards? And I want you to think about this, because when we're talking about building these personal biblical standards, the question why is going to come up a lot. And I want you to be able to answer in your mind, why do I believe this? If you can answer in your mind why I believe this, it's going to be a whole lot easier to answer your kids when they say, Dad, why do we believe this? Let's be able to answer those questions why. That's what this is about tonight. Why do you wear some kinds of clothes but not others? Do you have reasons? Okay, now sometimes when it comes to clothes, I wear some kind of clothes in the summer, some kind of clothes in the winter. Okay, I get that. But there's some kind of clothes I'm never going to wear. I'm not going to wear my wife's clothes, I'll tell you that, right? So I've got some standards. I'm going to choose which clothes that I'm going to wear and which clothes I'm not going to wear. Here's another question for you. Why don't you allow your kids to watch some types of movies? I'm just assuming you're here on a Sunday night on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm assuming there's probably some things on TV you don't let your kids watch if you have kids. So here's the question that you need to answer. Why? Why do I do that? Why do I send my kids to school where all the other kids are talking about some show that they all watch, and I deprive my kids of knowing what they're all talking? Why do I send that, put them through that torture? Okay, so there's probably got to be a reason for it. Otherwise, we're missing out. We're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Now, I don't think we're doing that, but if we can't answer the question why, we're going to find ourselves changing what we say that we believe eventually. Why do you stay away from some types of businesses? There are some businesses that I'm not going to go to. And I believe there's probably some businesses that you're not going to go to. Well, now, what's the reason for that? Why? Well, I want you to be able to answer that. And here's the overall answer: because you have standards. I believe that you have standards. We all have some types of standards, because every one of us, as I asked you those questions, we'd say, yes, there's some movies that my kids shouldn't watch, and yes, there's some kind of clothes that I'm not going to wear, and yes, there's some businesses that I'm not going to go to. But let me ask you this: where did you get your standards? We've got this section right here, this building block. Where did I get them? They can come from anywhere. They can come from somebody telling me that I have to do this because I'm in a school and I have a dress code at school or at work. They can come from where did they come from? A biblical standard must come from a conviction, something I believe, which must come from a Bible principle found in Scripture. If your standard is not anchored to something solid, here's what's going to happen. It's going to change. If you make a guideline for you, I gave you the example this morning. You make a standard for yourself that you're only going to date Christian girls until a really pretty non-Christian girl comes along. And if you don't have a standard set on something solid, you're going to change that standard. You can apply that to so many different things. Why do you have that standard? Where did you get them from? If it's not anchored to something solid, it will change. A biblical standard, I'm going to say this a lot, must come from a conviction, which must come from a principle found in Scripture. Now, we've got to do this. We've got to build them in the right order. Most of us are going to start this process doing it kind of backwards. All right? Kind of like learning a new language. It would be easiest to learn a new language from the day you're born and just kind of grow into it. But to try to learn a new language now, it's hard. Okay, so none of us are starting this process from scratch. We're all a strange combination of all the influences of our lives. Now, let's talk to each other a little bit tonight, all right? Tell me something good. I'll ask you to raise your hand, and I'll call on you, and just I want to wake you up a little bit here, okay? And we've got about 15 minutes, 17 minutes left, so hang in here with me. I want you to get something from this. Tell me something good. Raise your hand if you can. Something good you learned from your parents. We're talking about, where did you get your standards? Tell me something good you learned from your parents. Anybody ever? Nobody learns? Okay, but John, go to church. Okay, something good you learned from your parents. Somebody tell me something good you learned from your kindergarten teacher. Julia, wash your hands. Yes. How about something good that you learned from a high school teacher? Anybody? Did you learn something good? Make sure you're not even in high school. Josh, the order of math operations. Larissa, you were going to say that. He just took it first, right? No. All right. Order of math operations. Somebody tell me something good that you learned from a college professor. Abby, Dad. Okay, biochemistry. Learned something from a college professor. How about something from a coach? Did anybody learn something good from a coach? Vaughn, get up. Get up, right? How about a neighbor? Did anybody learn? Okay, so there's bad things you can learn from all of these, but something good. Anybody learn something good from a neighbor? Anybody? Ileana, you got your hand up. Is there something good you learned from a neighbor? Anybody? All right, Josh? It makes them happy if you have a clean yard. Okay. Yeah, that's something good. And stay positive here, all right? Stay positive. Something good you learned from a book. Anybody? Something good you learned from a book. Abby. Okay. And from the Bible, right? That's the book. Here's my point. We're all a strange combination of the influences in our lives. Where did you get your standards? Tell me something good you learned from a TV show. It's not a trick question, all right? We were watching Andy Griffith before we came to church tonight. It was great, all right? Can't tell anything good I learned. It's kind of a waste of time. Yes, Kristen. Okay. Like not to put too much baking soda in and, you know. Okay. Folding cakes, right? We're going to have to talk about that later. Tell me something good you've learned from a pastor. Any pastor. Put it on. Be nice. How about a youth pastor? Have you learned something good from a youth pastor somewhere? Someplace back, Abby? It's not bad to be different. These are great things. Things that we have learned. Now, do you understand what we're saying? We are a mixture. We are a combination of so many influences in our lives. Where do we get our standards from? Do we get the way we live our life? Did that come from my coach? Did that come from my parents? Did that come from a TV show? Did it come from books I was reading? I'll just give you a couple more just really quickly here. How about internet preachers, right? TV preachers. Okay, never mind. Nothing from them. Friends? Enemies? Cereal boxes? Have you ever found yourself just sitting at the table just reading the same thing on the cereal box over and over? It's frustrating. I like to read. I will read anything if it's in front of me. I love to read. And I will just read the same thing ever since I was a kid. And it just frustrates me. It's like, I read this yesterday morning when I was eating breakfast. Commercials. The news. Here's the point. All of these influences, if you just learned one thing from each of those, you're bringing a huge variety of beliefs to the table. Our culture has a gigantic influence on what we believe and how we live. So we're standing right here, and we have a lot of things that we do, a lot of standards that we have. We've got some things that we believe from our coaches, from our neighbors, from people that don't even like us, from cereal boxes, from commercials on the radio and TV. What we need to do is skip all of this and go back to the scripture and say, okay, I need to go to the scripture. I need to find some Bible principles, and I need to find out, what do I believe? Now, if the Bible says it, I ought to believe it. That's just a given. Of course, that's not always the case. I want to go back to scripture and find out, the Bible says it, so I believe this, and from what I believe, I'm going to determine what I am going to do. All right? Brother Vaughn gave a good example. Get up. Coach said, get up. I believe you can find that in Bible principles, but what if the coach told you to do something else? All right? Coaches don't always tell you to do the right thing. I remember my coach. I was in basketball. I was probably in about sixth or seventh grade. I was the little guy on the team. He put me in because one of the other guys was in foul trouble. It was close to the end of the game. He put me in, and he told me, you go up there to that guy, and you foul him. I was like, I'm going to get attention for this. I'm so getting in trouble for this. I thought I was breaking the law or something. I was supposed to go up to this. Now, it wasn't breaking the law. I understand that. But you're not always going to learn good things from the influences in your life. They're not always based on the Bible. So what do we need to do? We need to get back to the Bible, build in the right order. Sometimes we build backwards. Sometimes we believe something, and we're looking for a Bible reason to keep believing it. That's where a lot of us are. I believe this is true, and I'm just going to go over here to the Bible, and I got to find a Bible verse for this. We do that more often than we realize. I want to prove that what I am doing right now is, this is what I like to do, so I want to go to the Bible and find out. I gave you the example this morning. God helps those that help themselves. We're going to go back there and try to find. We're like the preacher that has a really great idea for a sermon. I'm telling on myself now, but he hasn't found a Bible verse for it yet. This will be a great message. I'm going to preach this message, but really I need a Bible verse in order to preach this. So we go and we find one. That's backwards, but that's how we are so many times. And right now, if we're starting to talk about standards, we're starting to talk about building our own personal standards, we've got to kind of be willing to say, It doesn't matter what I've got from this point. If I can't trace it back to Scripture, I need to be able to do that. Before I believe something, I need to see, is it Scripture? Is it really right? If it's not based on Scripture, I'm going to eventually change what I believe. This is important. Have you ever heard this quote? Nobody lives somebody else's standards for a lifetime. My parents, if they have standards that they want me to live, I might live it while I'm in their house. We talked about performing last week. As long as somebody's watching, I'll keep performing. But if somebody's not watching and my heart's not right, I'm going to stop performing. Nobody lives somebody else's standards for a lifetime. I have got to find out from the Bible what I believe for myself so that I can live the way God wants me to live. Have I lost you yet? I'm not trying to. Just want to make sure you're with me still. We try to build backwards. We believe, we do something so we want to see it in the Bible. Or we've heard things that others believe and we're hoping that there's no Bible support for it. Right? This guy says, you know, the wild-eyed, crazy, like conspiracy theory guy, did you see this in the Bible? This is what we've got to do now. And whoa, 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 wait. I hope the Bible doesn't say that. Right? I think we all have somebody like that in our life. And really, they may just be more yielded to Scripture than I am. And they see something, and maybe they don't do it in the best way. Maybe they're not tactful, and maybe they're not really thoughtful of other people's feelings, but they point it out, and I say, you know what? I really hope that's not in the Bible, because I really don't want to change what I'm doing. So we're coming at it backwards sometimes. We sincerely want to do right, and we know that if what they believe is supported by Scripture, then we're going to have to change some things. Or we know we're going to keep on doing whatever we want to do, no matter what we learn from the Bible. That's where most of us are right now. We've been living this life for a long time. We're pretty much set in our ways. And if somebody was to come along and say, you know what, this is what the Bible says, and it challenges our conviction, maybe our conviction about our belief about something, it may be different than what that person said, or it may be different than what the Bible said. So here's what we need to do. We need to get back to the Scripture. If you are going to have a personal biblical standard, that means me living according to the Bible, personal biblical standard. If you're going to do that, it has to be based on the Scripture. Scripture is the Bible. A biblical principle is me understanding the Bible. A biblical conviction is me believing the Bible. A biblical standard is me living the Bible. Scripture is settled. It never changes. If I reword the Scripture, it's no longer Scripture. If I paraphrase the Scripture, it's no longer Scripture. It cannot be changed, it cannot be added to, it cannot be subtracted from, cannot be edited or rearranged. It stands alone. It doesn't need backup or evidence. It begins with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God doesn't explain it. He doesn't give evidence for it. God doesn't cite any references for it. Scripture stands alone, given by God to be believed by man. It just stands alone. I don't have to defend it. It's just there. A biblical principle is the Scripture applied to life. It never changes, but you can say it in various ways. Now, I can't say a Bible verse in various ways and it still be the Bible, right? A principle, I can say it in different ways and it's still a principle based on the Bible. I can put the word I. I can put the word you or another personalizing pronoun. Let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Bible says this. What? Know ye not that your body, okay, I'm scripture right here. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of God, or the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's the Scripture. What, know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the Scripture. The principle could be, my body is God's temple. My body does not belong to me, it belongs to God. Not just I belong to God, but my body. My body belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. There's a Scripture and there's a principle. When I put the word I in there, it makes it not just a Scripture, abstract Scripture. It becomes a principle applied to me. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a Scripture, now there's principle, and then a conviction. A conviction is what I believe the Bible means. Now, other people may read that Scripture. What, know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They may read that scripture, they may come to a different conclusion. But my Bible conviction, this is what I believe based on my understanding of the Bible. I believe I should treat my body like God lives in me and owns me. Here's my conviction. I read the scripture, the principle, my body is God's temple. My body does not belong to myself, it belongs to God. My conviction now is I believe I should treat my body like God lives in me and owns me based on the scripture. Now, biblical standard is how I personally plan to obey the Bible. And we'll finish with this. How do I read the scripture, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Ye are not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. That's the scripture. The principle, my body belongs to God, it doesn't belong to me. My conviction, I believe I should live my life in a way, let me read that to you again, because I wrote it out. I believe I should treat my body like God lives in me and owns me. That's my conviction. How do I live it? Let me give you some ideas. And I'm not telling you this needs to be what you believe or what your standard will be, but let me tell you what I think would be good for me. Because of that, scripture, principle, conviction, my standard is I won't smoke cigarettes, do drugs, or drink alcohol because they destroy my body. And my body doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. You see how we took a scripture and now we're talking about something that's not even in the Bible. If God had said back in the Old Testament, thou shalt not smoke camels, they might have a little different idea about what a camel was that shouldn't be getting smoked. Now, this standard, it's an amazing thing. Now, because I have those four building blocks, now I can apply those principles to something that the Bible doesn't even talk about, doing drugs. The Bible doesn't talk about heroin or methamphetamine or fentanyl or any of those things. But I'm not going to put those in my body because my body's a temple of God. And He owns it. I don't own it. Do you understand how that standard happens? I won't tattoo my body. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you've already done that, you understand how hard those are to take off. I said this morning. God's more interested where you're going than where you came from. Get right with God. Live a life that pleases God. But from this day forward, I'm not going to do that because my body belongs to God. It's not mine. I won't use my body to have a physical relationship with anyone that I'm not married to. I've got a standard. That standard is based on the scripture. And because it's based on the scripture, it doesn't need to change. I'm not going to be so tempted to change that because it's founded on something solid. Let me give you a few more. I won't use my body to wear clothes or accessories that advertise sinful things. All right? My body belongs to God. I'm not going to rent it to the devil for him to use it to advertise his stuff. Let me give you another standard. Now, these standards are based on a Bible principle that I got from Scripture. If you base your Bible principle on Scripture, now you have something. I really believe this. I believe I should use my body to please God, not myself. It's not too hard to come up with this I should do, this I shouldn't do. And we're not trying to make a huge list of rules for us to do. I'm just trying to please God. And now, your list of standards is going to be different than mine. Your list of rules is going to be different than mine because you got different situations that you're facing. Some of them may need to be very similar, though, because it's going to help you to stay away from sin. I will dress my body modestly in a way that represents the holiness living inside me. This is a standard. A rule that I'm going to keep for myself is I'm going to do my best to dress my body modestly. Why? God lives in here. That's not a proud statement. It's a true statement. If you are a Christian, God lives inside of you. So I'm going to dress his temple modestly. I won't do things to my body that mimic the bodies of lost people. Okay, this is a standard. I'm not going to get the piercings and do the hair and all that stuff like the world does it. I'm not going to mimic somebody that's a rock singer or a movie star or something like that. I'm not going to do that with my body. Because it points people to this worldly way of living. I don't want to point people that way because my body belongs to God. I will give my body as a living sacrifice to do the will of God. I won't dishonor my body with sexual perversions such as fornication or homosexuality. I won't use my eyes to look at pornography, my ears to listen to music that displeases God, my tongue to curse, my hands to steal, or my hips to dance suggestively, or stupidly if you watch some of the junior hires nowadays. My body belongs to God, so I won't rent it to the devil to do his work. If you get this process, you will be able to build your own personal biblical standards without having to say, well, this is what my parents said. Now, obey your parents. But one day, teens, you're going to be to the point where you're out of the house and you're going to have to make some decisions. Am I going to live like my parents live, or how am I going to live? What am I going to base? I've got all this freedom now. What am I going to base what I do on? Well, if you base it on Scripture, you're going to be okay. The Scripture, biblical principle, I believe what the Scripture says, and since I believe what the Scripture says, here's what I'm going to do to live what I believe. Father, I pray that you would use this message to help us to live a way that pleases you. Lord, as we go forward in this series, I pray that you would help us to make some decisions. Lord, I know some of these decisions that you're going to challenge us with may be very difficult, but Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage, give us the character to do it. Lord, I pray that each person here tonight would be able to look at your word and say, God, I want you to teach me what's true. I want to learn what the Bible says. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn those principles from your word. And then Lord, I pray that you'd help us to determine, I believe that. Help us to determine some biblical conviction, those beliefs that are firmly grounded on something solid, your word. And then Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us to take that next step. Lord, it's a difficult step sometimes. It's a courageous step sometimes to be able to take that step and say, okay, this is how I'm going to live. These are the changes I'm going to make, God, because I want to please you.